Chair Wecker, commissioners, directors, I'm Ron Warren with the Fish Program, here to talk to you about the Grace River Basin Salmon Management Policy that we've been discussing and working on for the last few months. The presentation today hope to set the context and describe and remind ourselves about the challenges and the complexities that we have to improve the Grace Harbor Basin fisheries. I'd like to define the purposes. Thanks. Cover the primary objectives of the draft policy. I'd also like to summarize the extensive public input and process that we've been through, and review key policy provisions that are covered in the current draft. So this is a familiar slide. We've seen it for the last couple of months, and it's just a reminder of the what's happening with the Chehalis Fall Chinook and actual run sizes versus escapement and natural spawners. So again, just to remind ourselves, this limited space between the orange and blue lines as we travel through the time steps here are harvest, and it you can see that there's not a lot of harvest available or that has occurred. Some of the challenges that we have is we're relying, unlike some of our other locations, relying on our wild stock, the Chinook returning to to the Grace Harbor Basin. It's only about 8% of hatchery origin, so we have a very small component of hatchery fish that return to the basin to assist opportunity. We've also seen a degraded habitat that has reduced production of Chinook by 68%. And then we have a substantial harvest north of us, totaling 48% in those northern fisheries, while we see limited harvest in the state of Washington. The complexities include the many forums that the Chehalis Chinook are talked about, discussed, and managed within. The Pacific Salmon Commission, certainly our relationship with the Quinault Indian Nation, the Chehalis Tribe, commercial recreational fishers, and groups in the estuary, both in the lower and upper river, all have value this stock. So just a further illustration of what that previous slide discusses, the projected distribution of catch from 2013, 48% caught in Alaska and Canada, almost 14,000 fish, and then the Quinault Indian Nation at 1384 with 12,364 for spawning escapement, and 1 to 2% for the other minor pieces of the users within the non-treaty share. So the history of spawner objectives in Grace Harbor, we have not routinely met. The draft policy points us in a more focused conservation perspective. Can see that 1 out of 5 years for Chehalis Fall Chinook and 1 out of 5 years for Hump Tulips Coho have been met, while Spring Chinook is 2. We have had some success in Hump Tulips Fall Chinook and Chehalis Coho, and hope that these other stocks, with the focus of the policy, will look similarly in years to come. So I'd like to just provide a quick summary of the public process that we've gone through. Since the tail end of October, we've had five Grace Harbor advisory meetings. Those meetings were conducted with our advisors that could come and give us their time. And at the end of each of those meetings, there was time for public to comment on the discussions that took place in those meetings. We also had three public workshops where we tried to capture all the things that were going on, either new information or updates from commission meetings, and then solicit public input at three workshops in Montesano. Each of those workshops were very well attended. We've also had three commission meetings, November, December, and January. At each, public was asked to comment, and you've heard from the public in each of those, or at each of those meetings. Within the last two meetings, you've heard, prior to today, you've heard 45 individuals testify on this topic. And since December 10th comment period, we've received 374 written comments. Those written comments are broken out, like we have in the past, in several categories. And I guess not surprisingly, those categories remain with allocation and conservation as the two most important topics. Certainly not to diminish any of the other topics that people comment on, as all of the policy and all of its components together will give the department better direction for management. But you can see that the allocation received 318 comments just in this last comment period. So the purpose of the policy is, as stated in the first bullet, is to advance the conservation and restoration of wild salmon. The importance of that, I can't say enough. We've discussed this for the last few months, and it's difficult to change the way you say that has to be our number one priority. We have to work consistent with conservation objectives, maintain and enhance the well-being of our fishery industries. And we have to provide outdoor recreational experiences that are fair in distribution for fishing opportunities. We've heard a lot, and the policy was hoped to cover and help us improve our technical rigor within the fishery management within Grace Harbor, as well as give us some guidance on how to be more transparent and share information with the public. The positive, both from a commission standpoint and as a department employee, to hear the comments of folks this morning saying that we have been sharing information more freely, and we certainly hope to continue that trend. So what does the policy do? It builds on the commission policy on statewide guidance from hatchery and fishery reform. We could also draw lines to the North Falcon policy and the maturity of that policy. But it also recognizes that the innovation and adaptive management is necessary, we have to pay attention to what's happening, how it's happening, be willing to challenge ourselves, take the input of our constituents who are out there on the water and report that back and collectively make changes if needed. I think that, as you'll see, I think that the policy sets us in a good direction in that regard. It also sets a good direction for the management in Grace Harbor. So what are the, and this is also a slide or topics, what are the big three pieces of the policy? Those key policy provisions have remained consistent. The enhanced conservation focus, the reduction of gear conflict, and the clarify the sharing of impacts. So the first policy provision to enhance the conservation focus can be found in the adaptive management principle, and it's very clear, straightforward, to limit the catch of WDF and W managed fisheries to maximize 5% of the adult return if spawning goals of wild salmon are not met in three out of the previous 5 years. So what does that mean when we put it into practice? That would, if we look back at 2013, we would have a 5% limit on harvest rates. And for the Chehalis Spring Chinook who have not met 3 out of 5, those projected harvests were already under 5%, so we wouldn't have had a problem meeting those. However, the Chehalis Fall Chinook had projected harvest rate of 9.1%, and the Humtulips Coho 11.6, both of it which would have had to have been reduced by nearly or over half of what the projected harvest was. The second key provision found in Principle 8, structure seasons when possible so that anglers have at least 3 consecutive days of fishing per week with no commercial fishing in fisheries in progress. When this started off, it was a very new and new approach that we hadn't heard a lot of in the region, although we'd heard it pretty clearly last year in Willapa Bay, but not as clearly from my perspective in Grace Harbor. But again, when you put that in practice, what is the outcome? So from 2009 through 12, the WDF and W managed commercial fisheries would not have been able to have fisheries in 28% of the weeks in Area 2AD, which is the main Chehalis side of the fishery, and 42% of the weeks in Area 2C, which is the northern portion of the bay towards the Humtulips River. But what is offered is, and this only counts days that would be fished without considering fishing in common with our co-managers. You can see that the range of weeks 40 through 48, there are certainly times when fishing is available within those periods. So the final policy provision is clarifying sharing of impacts. I just wanted to bring back a slide to remind us about the number of Grays Harbor commercial licenses. And sorry, it's not in a better color combination. It might be hard to see, but the upper bar is the voluntarily suspended in each year. The middle lighter gray color is the total active. So Grays Harbor, Columbia River, so total active, and then just active within Grays Harbor. You can see that there are a couple of small upward trends depending on where you start, and those primarily follow on the active fishers in Grays Harbor. Those primarily track with coho abundance. Just wanted to remind ourselves, and as we continue to talk about the sharing of impacts, that the commercial fleet, the average from 2000 to 2012, is about $92,000 on average per year, ex vessel value, and that the distribution of that ex vessel value per licensed fisher is shown here. You can see that the majority of the individuals are making less than $5,000 per year in the fishery in Grays Harbor. Continue to talk about values of fisheries, and it's important to remember that we cannot compare the recreational values with the ex vessel values of the commercial. From this recreational information, you can see that the average coho and chinook catch is just over 12,000, 51,000 trips, and a total economy impact of just over $1.4 million per year. And this information was gleaned from a study that we had done back in 2008. So continuing on the provision of sharing of impacts, we find that in Fall Chinook Principle Number 2, the direction that is in the policy prioritizes the use of Fall Chinook to achieve spawner goals as number one, provide meaningful recreational fishing opportunities as number two, and number three, to limit commercial impacts to incidental harvest of Fall Chinook during fisheries directed at other species. Also, in Fall Chinook Principle Number 3, we set incidental impact harvest rate limits for pump tulips, Fall Chinook in Area 2C, and at 1.2% and 0.8% for Chehalis Fall Chinook in Area 2A, B, and D. So how did we come up with or arrive at the levels? This is the most straightforward piece, the hump tulips Fall Chinook. We have an average when we look at impact rates from 2005 to 2011. Their average is 1.2%, and the proposed the proposal within the draft policy currently is 1.2 at those smaller run sizes that occur. And then for the Chehalis Fall Chinook, it's a slightly different story. You can see that from 2002 through 2008, the black colored bars, 2002, we really began to initiate some conservation measures to look at and implement the live boxes, the release of Chinook. And then later in that time step, we also put into place the old sharing plan or tier system. And then that tier system or sharing plan was modified and implemented in 2009. And from 2010 forward, that plan unintentionally fairly dramatically increased the commercial catch. And so when we look at that conservation that began in 2002 with the marked selective or release mortalities associated with the gear types, live boxes that we put in place with the commercial fishery and the sharing plan, that drove us towards those additional conservation measures we were trying to achieve, and believe it most appropriate to look at that average instead of the average of 2010 through 12, therefore leaving us at a 0.8 at those smaller run sizes. So what's the implication of that? When we look at X vessel value, you can see the bar or the line that is horizontal here that shows the 2002 through 2008 average of X vessel value. And the farthest right bar in black shows the draft policy, and that's sits right at about $70,000 of X vessel value per year. So again, the draft policy is set with the X vessel value, with the harvest rate caps of 0.8 on Chinook, originating from the Chehalis, and 1.2 from Hump Tulips. So again, the draft policy directs staff to further focus on or refine our focus on these three key policy provisions, along with several others. And being mindful of the new direction as we move forward with possible adoption of the policy. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Any questions for Ron? This presentation? Very good. Appreciate all your hard work.
And Commissioner Quecker, I would like to say there are many people in this agency that work very, very hard, but it's been a pleasure to work with Jim Scott. He has led us through this. It's been an honor.
Mm-hmm. I completely understand that. I've seen him in action for many years, and I completely agree. Okay, Commissioner Mencken, would you like to report?
Yes, Madam Chair. The Fish Committee has met on four occasions since the last commission meeting to consider public input to the Grays Harbor policy. We have several amendments to the policy that we'd like to propose. And you have before you, I think, a redraft of the policy with the red markings, red text in there. And I'm going to go through this. So in the policy, under guiding principles, number 8, a sentence to be added to the end of that that reads as follows. If the treaty fishery occurs 4 or more days in a calendar year, no WDF&W managed commercial fishery shall occur in the remaining days of the week.
That was correction, week. You said year, but meant week. Okay.
Under guiding principles, on page 4, Item number 13, A, a sentence added after the department shall work with the public and add parties to the Wynoochee settlement agreement with the goal. At the end of that sentence, or at the next sentence, which reads regulatory commission by September 30th, which is an addition, September 30th. Under fall Chinook salmon on page 4, and on page 5 of that section, the following. Under number 3, item A, under areas A, 2A, 2B, and 2D, add the following. The impact rate of the state-managed commercial fishery shall be 0.8% on natural origin Chehalis Fall Chinook when the impact of the recreational fishery is equal to or greater than 4.2%. The impact rate of the WDF&W managed commercial fishery may be less than 0.8% when conservation concerns for natural origin Chehalis Fall Chinook result in a less than 4.2% impact rate in the recreational fishery. When the terminal run of the natural origin Chehalis Fall Chinook reaches an abundance of 18,793, the impact rate of the WDF&W managed commercial fishery shall linearly increase from 0.8% to a maximum of 5.8% at a terminal run of 25,000 natural origin Chehalis Fall Chinook. Under Area 2C, the following. The impact rate of the state-managed commercial fishery shall be 1.2% on the natural origin Hump Tulips Fall Chinook when the impact of the recreational fishery is equal to or greater than 3.8%. The impact rate of the WDF&W managed commercial fishery may be less than 1.2% when conservation concerns for Hump Tulips natural origin Fall Chinook result in a less than 3.8% impact rate in the recreational fishery. When the terminal run of natural origin Hump Tulips Fall Chinook reaches an abundance of 3,779, the impact rate of the WDF&W managed commercial fishery shall linearly increase from 1.2% to a maximum of 5.4% at a run of 4,070 natural origin Hump Tulips Fall Chinook. On page 6, under coho salmon, in number 2, strike the words WDF&W managed commercial. At the bottom of the page is a definition of what a small run size is. It reads as follows. A small run is defined as a run less than 110% of the spawner goal. A large run is defined as more than 182% of the spawner goal of fall Chinook salmon and more than 156% of the spawner goal for coho and chum salmon. Under chum salmon, on page 7, number 3, strike the following words, WDF&W managed commercial. On page 8, there are a couple of minor changes in on page 8. I think that, on the top paragraph, add between the inclusion signs on the word beginning, add beginning in 2009. Then under A, add also, let me read it, the predicted fishery impact for the stock in WDF&W managed fisheries in the Gray Harbor Basin will exceed 5% of the adult return to add Gray's Harbor to that paragraph. Under number three, add the following to the end of spawner goals as follows: to promote management, improved management of chum salmon, the department shall include in the 2015 annual review an evaluation of options to improve chum salmon stock assessments. The department shall subsequently initiate in 2015 a review of the spawner goal for chum salmon. At the bottom of the page is a clarification of the Grace Harbor Control Zone. It reads as follows: the Grace Harbor Control Zone is defined as an area at the entrance to Grace Harbor bounded by a line from the lighthouse 1 mile south of the South Jetty to buoy number two, to buoy number three, to the tip of the North Jetty, to the tip of the exposed end of the South Jetty. We would like to have concurrence from the rest of the commission. Providing you agree to that, we'll go forward.
Okay. Has this new draft been distributed to the public? No.
No, okay. Not yet. It's hot off the press.
Okay. It's been on the screen.
Right.
So I've been able to follow. Great. Thank you. I have to say the Fish Committee has put a lot of effort, work, many, many meetings of the Fish Committee, and the three meetings of the Commission in which we've had this topic on our agenda. The Fish Committee has been meeting more than once, each Commission meeting, sometimes three, four times, to come up with a good proposal, detailed proposal, clear. And we really appreciate. I think that it's just been very impressive to me, the level of effort that's been put into this. And so I would like to hear from other members of the commission. This is the time for a good discussion. We could entertain a motion, but we know the likely motion is going to be this draft revised policy as presented by the Fish Committee. I think it would be a good idea. Yeah. Would you like to make the motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move to adopt the Grace Harbor Basin Salmon Management Policy with the floor amendments.
Second.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded to adopt the proposed policy on Grace Harbor salmon management with floor amendments by the Fish Committee. Oh, sorry, it was Brad Smith who seconded. All right, time for discussion. Commissioner Schmidt.
Thank you, Chairman. I do intend to vote for this, and I thought I'd just take a moment to explain to the public why I am voting for it. What's included that I think is significant, and I've put together some of my thoughts. Frankly, this has been one of the most difficult decisions that I've encountered in my five-some years with the commission. It's a very complex fishery, with a vast majority of Grace Harbor Chinook impacts occurring outside of Grace Harbor. Plus, having both a federally recognized tribe and a non-federal tribe having impacts occurring inside the harbor. The result of all this is that it leaves a pittance of non-treaty fish to seek, for those of us here, to seek a creative solution to the problems that have been identified. You know, for me, it's clear from your emails, your letters, public comment, that the paramount issue is conservation. Yes, a lot of talk about allocation as we've gone through this, but it is conservation that has driven our solution. It's also consistent with the objectives in the Grace Harbor policy, which, and I'll just quote, is to advance the conservation and restoration of wild fish in Grace Harbor. Yes, it goes on to say, when consistent with conservation, the policy also seeks to maintain or enhance the economic well-being and stability of the fishing industry. You know, it's unfortunate that the remedies necessary to rebuild the conservation stocks actually affect the commercial sector more due to the incidental impacts of their fishing gear. While in this final policy draft, you'll notice several changes that we've made from public comments, but one that you may not have really captured the essence of or the significance of is that we recognize the significance to the commercial industry of attempting to gain your coho fishery. And have worked diligently over the last week to respond to those concerns, and we've agreed to an important change. That change is in the shearing plan analysis, and I forget what section it's shown in your document. It's actually in under fall Chinook salmon, item 3 is where it's written, but I'd like to describe it to you. Ron went through it. It's based on the concept of low runs provide more recreational harvest as high runs increase commercial take as they increase. And these numbers and that policy, that concept was shared with both sides during the group discussions that you've had. As a base, if you're looking at 18,793 run size in areas 2A, 2B, 2D, that maintains the 0.8% that we have initially set and still have. But on an increasing sliding scale, as it would go up to 25,000 fish, it would allow a 5.8%. All the while, at this level of the base level, for the recreational fishers, you could take one Chinook per trip in freshwater for the entire season. That's from October 1 till November. And also, for you'd have 1 week of recreational fishing in saltwater, again, at the rate of one fish per day per fisher. So, the recreational side is protected in what we'd originally set. It would increase if it got to the 25,000 level for the commercial side, an ex-vessel value of an additional $15,000. For 2C, the base is at 3,779 run. Again, keeping to our 1.2% incidental impact. Linearly ramping up to 5.4%, the commercial catch would go up to 4,070 fish. So that is significant. It's listening to you from both sides. It's an issue you've already talked about how to get there. Let me just conclude with this. This is only going to work if the department will fulfill the obligation they've indicated in Guiding Principle 9, and that is to monitor, to sample, and to enforce the programs with adequate account for both species and population impacts and ensure compliance. That is paramount if this thing is going to work. It's only going to work if we bring it back to us and review it each year. And I heard that again from the audience from both sides. So just to wrap up, we've been diligent. I think we tried to accommodate both sides as best we could. But recall, our paramount objective is to bring the fishery back to you. And to do that, we had to put conservation first. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Other commissioners like to make statements? Oh, Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And thanks to Commissioner Schmitten for a nice summary. I, too, will be voting in favor of this policy. I fully realize that this is far from ideal from the commercial perspective. However, in my mind, I think it's rational. It's based on historical catches. And in particular, I like to recognize the commissioners, the staff, the director, for recognizing the need to be have a flexible approach for instances and years where we have harvestable surplus of Chinook. I thought that the the policy that we had was too rigid and did not share the bounty of years when we did have harvestable surplus of Chinook, both Chehalis and Home Tulips. I think this is a very positive step, and I hope, obviously the goal is to, with these conservation measures that we have put in place in the policy, is that we do have greater returns in the future so that we all can share in the benefit of those. I also, and one other thing too I'd like to add, and just in closing, whenever we implement policies which are different, I mean, this is different than what we've done in the past, there may be unintended consequences. And so certainly this policy reflects that in terms of an annual review. There are certain issues that I will be looking at closely and with regard to this policy. And and we will be back here again about this time, I believe, next year in reviewing it. And one last thing, too, I'm sorry, to keep on going. This will present an opportunity as we embark on North of Falcon for both groups to work closely with our new Region 6 manager, and who I happen to know from personal experience is very skilled and very receptive to public, the user group's information. So this will be an opportunity and also a challenge to, particularly for the commercial fleet, to use their Chinook impacts in the most creative fashion in terms of maximizing their harvest of coho. So look forward to seeing all of you north of Falcon, and good fishing.
Commissioner Carpenter, I know that you're not feeling too well, but give us what you can, your thoughts.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I can talk today a little better. I also will be supporting the Grays Harbor Basin Salmon Management Plan. I just want everybody in the room to realize what a very thoughtful decision, how we got there. It's been a very, very difficult time spent analyzing a variety of different issues that come to us, and we try and sort through everyone's comments. I know the other gentleman on the Fish Committee and probably on the entire commission read the emails, and there's a lot of emails to read and a lot of emails to try and read into what that particular person is saying. Although we've come up with this policy, it's probably not perfect, but I'll tell you what, it's the best we can get done right now, and I stand by it. I think it's going to be a work in progress, and just like Commissioner Kehoe suggested, we'll have a chance to review it in a year from now. I think I also want to add, pardon me, the way this process works, you heard others talk about the Fish Committee, which is made up of four of us. It's a real pleasure for me to work with Commissioners Mencken, Schmidt, and Keough. These guys are tireless. I can't tell you how many meetings we've had in person, and I don't know how many conference calls we had on this particular issue. But it's been a lot, and it's been a dedicated effort to make the right decision, realizing that conservation is our primary function, and I think we've done that. And sharing, that's a difficult issue to ever sort out. Not everybody's going to be happy, but I hope most people are happy in this outcome. So I want to thank my colleagues on the Fish Committee and the balance of the commissioners. And lastly, I really want to put out a thank you to staff. These guys worked till midnight last night on some issues that are maybe even 4 in the morning, for that matter. But thank you for the entire staff's effort on this issue.
Thank you. Commissioner Smith?
Thank you. I, too, will be supporting this, and I don't want to go through what everybody has said because I'm in support of what has been said, but I did want to personally say a few words and extend my thanks to the staff as well. And the commission, for those of you that are aware, is made up of different committees. The Fish Committee is one of them, and that's the one that's been carrying the lion's share of this. So I extend my personal thanks to my colleagues on the Fish Committee. There was one phrase that stuck out during the public comment period, it's a very learning time for us to hear all of your comments, both written and verbal. But one stuck with me, and I mentioned that last time. We don't want to allocate to the last fish. And that's something I think really we don't want to do. I mean, that kind of encapsulates, in my thinking, what conservation is, because that's the antithesis of conservation. So conservation drives this. As my colleagues have said, this is a difficult decision that we did make. But in my 5 years of experience on the commission, we don't get too many easy decisions to make. This one's been particularly challenging because of all of the arenas that are involved and all of the various stakeholders. But that's the nature of it. And I know at this point in time, what we have come up with is the best for the most at this point. But recognizing, as my colleagues have said, we will be doing an annual review and look for good data, the transparency of data, to help drive those annual reviews, because we don't want to allocate to the last fish. So thank you.
Commissioner Mencken.
Yeah, just very quickly, I don't want people to be tired about hearing this, but again, Ron Warren and Jim Scott have been just tireless on this, and they have been the heart and soul of the drive of the Fish Committee, supplying us with information when we needed it. But there's one more person that also deserves to get some credit, and that's Phil Anderson. Phil was in the room many, many times, hanging over our shoulder, telling us where we were going wrong, telling us where we were going right, and suggesting new directions, and he is to be commended as well.
Okay. Well, I have some comments, too. I've already thanked staff. You've heard it from everyone. I really appreciate the presentation today, Ron, because in the past couple weeks, I've been hearing from my friends from Pacific County, Grace Harbor County, who commercially fish in Grace Harbor. They've asked that this commission seriously look at the impacts of what our decision will be today. And I think you presented us with a very clear understanding of what the likely impacts will be of our proposed policy. There was questions raised about the base year, the fairness, the equity, and I think you've clarified the rationale there. You've also made it pretty clear that you took seriously the complaints that we heard regarding transparency and communication issues. It does appear that we're doing a better job now, so I want to go on the record appreciating that. We do have a series of major problems, and I think you reduce them down to their essence. And we're trying to address those in this policy. The nature of the policy, nature of the fishery is that it is very constrained, with a lot of stakeholders wanting a piece of it. It's been challenging to reach to achieve the conservation objectives, but I think we're on the right track now. So that's my statement of appreciation for the staff effort. I've also already mentioned how impressed I am with the Fish Committee. I agree. Dr. Anderson's just been a key force in guiding us towards something that I think is very, very defensible. But I had some other comments to make, because I have been faced with a lot of these allocation decisions in the past 6-7 years on the commission. And I think in the first years, I was very nervous about expressing my opinions on things. You can all imagine, it's not easy to pick winners and losers. And we don't always know completely what the consequences of our decisions will be. Sometimes there's unintended consequences. Nevertheless, we have to make a decision, and we all are faced with making a decision that is very personal. We look into ourselves and decide how we feel about these things. So I put together some comments, which I would like to read, that will give you a sense of where I'm coming from. Like all management actions, this is a work in progress. We definitely got the message that we have to do a better job meeting our conservation objectives, even if that means seriously reining in sport and commercial fisheries. I'm still not sure why we did not put conservation first before, but with this action, we absolutely commit to do that in the future. Yes, we don't get as much of these runs back as we would like, and we also promise in this policy to work hard to change that. We know that the commercial fishers will view this as a loss of opportunity and a gain for sport fisheries. I understand that, and I just have to say this. I believe most of the public continues to support commercial fisheries, but they need to be reformed to have fewer non-target impacts. I have to admit that I and others on the commission have seen the film footage taken in Grace Harbor of gillnet practices that were distressing to watch. I have been reassured by staff that these images do not represent the conduct of the majority of the gillnet fleet, and I hope that that is true. But we need to be confident that those who are licensed to harvest the state's fish are conducting the fishery in a responsible manner. In the next couple years, we will be sponsoring an effort to better determine release mortality rates in both sport and commercial fisheries. I think, along with that work, we should look for ways to assure compliance with best practices for release of non-target fish. I also believe that we should look out further into the future to envision how we might have a truly sustainable commercial fisheries that is less reliant on public subsidies, highly profitable, and has little impact on recovery of wild fish and little impact on other non-target species. The sport fishery has grown, and it continues to grow. We have seen the demand for sport opportunity increase in various contexts. It is often undervalued as an economic driver in Grays Harbor. That is changing, as we see from the participation in our hearings. As an inland water body, the harbor offers important opportunities for safe sport fishing. I expect the interest in the coastal estuaries will continue to grow as destinations for recreational fishing. This policy represents an accommodation for both fisheries for the near term, but it doesn't represent to me an ideal outcome. We need to do even better, but I see this as a distinct improvement over the approach used in recent years. As a strong signal about the paramount importance of meeting our conservation objectives, I intend to support this proposed policy. Any final thoughts? The question has been called. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.